Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We get it rolling here tonight. You never know what happens when you come in studio here after you follow the Blitz, Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman. There's like some parting gifts that have been left here. This is pretty nice, and they're cold. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. We're going to talk about the Dynamo draft today, and I'll tell you, things looking good in the world of the Houston Dynamo when it comes to putting this team together. Yes, I know it's on paper. Yes, I know it's been a tough couple of years, but there's definitely something now for us to sink our teeth in and be a bit excited about again, and the Dynamo do need to bring the excitement back this year. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Number of a couple of great interviews here tonight on the program. We will have Steve Davis from 442 USA. He's been out at U.S. National Team Camp and in and around Los Angeles. Everybody's out in L.A. for the NSCAA soccer convention, but the U.S. National Team in training out there under Bruce Arena, that January camp getting underway. We will also talk to Benny Failhaber. Now, if you remember, Benny Failhaber got on Twitter and basically, you know, said, look, there's no chance for me to ever get an opportunity despite the way I'm playing in Major League Soccer under Jurgen Klinsmann. Well, lo and behold, coaching change. Guess who Bruce Arena brings back in? Benny Failhaber. So Benny Failhaber's on the show tonight. This is an interview you're not going to want to miss tonight from national team camp as well. So very interesting with him. Aaron Champanoy is out in Los Angeles. He's the coach of Hastings College in Nebraska. They are the NAIA national champions. They won it going undefeated. He is the NAIA National Coach of the Year. That is going to be an interview we're going to put over on our podcast at podcastarena.com. That's going to be our bonus interview. It's Aaron Champanoy of Hastings, but he used to be the coach at St. Thomas here in Houston. Now, of course, Sunday, it is the big one, and I'm hoping some of the Liverpool supporters group members call in tonight, and Red Army Houston, the Manchester United group, or anybody who's a Liverpool or Manchester United fan. It is the big one on Sunday. Your thoughts on Liverpool and Manchester United? Liverpool struggling to score goals, kind of coming into this one, despite being the top goal-scoring team in Europe. Manchester United at home. And Jose Mourinho, he's using that press against Jurgen Klopp. This is a manager's delight here. Mourinho against Klopp. And Mourinho has said, and take a listen to this, Liverpool fans. He has declared Manchester United, the Old Trafford Giants, the biggest club in the country. Mourinho was asked if meeting between the old rivals is still a top fixture in the English game. And Mourinho said, I don't know. I know that Manchester United is the biggest club in this country. I know, you know, everybody knows. I'm sorry. It's easy to know. Then he went on to say, I can feel the rivalry is big, and for sure it's a big match. Around the world, people will look to this match with special eyes. That's for sure. Now, to counter that, Liverpool have won 5 European Cups to Manchester United's 3. But Manchester United has won 20 league titles to Liverpool's 18. Now, Mourinho is already using the press to pump up the United crowd. They come off an EFL Cup semifinal win over Hull on Tuesday. But he's already pushing the fans to make a difference at Old Trafford on Sunday. I've got some friends from Houston that left today to fly over there. God knows what they're paying for this. They're going to visit the museum. They get all this royal treatment. I got to think this is an investment of a couple grand to go there, because places like Manchester United, Liverpool, Real Madrid, Barcelona. These are now tourist destinations. I don't think there's any question. So Mourinho going on to say, we play at home. We have a huge percentage of our fans compared to Liverpool fans. Manchester United now, and think of this, have won their last 9 matches in all competitions. Then Jurgen Klopp said, so what? In all the games they've won since they played us, they haven't played us. Now, Liverpool is coming off a 1-0 loss at Southampton in midweek. So they have to react from what was a bad game. And they played a lot of their regulars in that game. Klopp says, I love it. That's how football should be. You can react immediately. Well, you certainly can when you got a lot of fixtures like this. 713-780-3776 is the number. Manchester United fans, Liverpool fans, where are you? 713-780-3776. What is your take on Manchester United, Liverpool for this Sunday? But Jose Mourinho firing the first shot here through the press, declaring the Old Trafford Giants the biggest club in the country, Manchester United. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. We have also got Joe Holland. Joe Holland today becomes a name in Dynamo lore because with the 10th pick, the Houston Dynamo took Joe Holland, a midfielder from Hofstra. Everybody's going, Hofstra, where is that? Well, that's out on Long Island in a very soccer-rich area. Joe Holland comes from England. The Dynamo originally had the number 4 pick in the draft. They did a deal with Portland. They got cash. They got an international slot. And they got the 10th pick. And then with the 10th pick, they took Joe Holland. Well thought out. I know there's people going, well, you could have had so-and-so prior. There was a number of players that they passed on. Obviously, the Dynamo liked Joe Holland. He's a midfielder, capable of playing in a number of positions. If the Dynamo play with a 3-set in midfield, he's comfortable with that because that's where Hofstra has played, with a 3-set in midfield in a very high-energy style. And then another great pickup, A.J. De La Garza, former member of the L.A. Galaxy. De La Garza, now here's what I love about this, because the Dynamo are addressing their desire to win. The Dynamo are addressing their competitive spirit. And that's with no disrespect to anybody who's been here the last 3 years, but they haven't made the playoffs. And it's almost as though losing got comfortable. A.J. De La Garza is 29 years of age, but is a fighter, a native of Maryland, played at Maryland. In 8 years at the L.A. Galaxy, has played 220 games. De La Garza is a winner. He's not coming here not to compete and not to win. So the Dynamo are adding guys that have what I think is a real winning character. Not guys who have to be led by others. Guys that will lead by themselves. De La Garza, Machado, Cabezas. These are all players that are fighters and have had to fight in their careers. So, Galaxy General Manager Peter Vahanis saying, AJ's a champion, will always mean so much to the club, the city, our fans. We thank him for his contributions to the Galaxy, forever a part of our family. With that said, we feel this will give us flexibility to strengthen our roster with the use of additional allocation money. So, De La Garza comes, so does Leonardo, from the LA Galaxy. So, the Dynamo picked off 2 players there. 713-780-3776. What do you think of the Dynamo choices today? The acquisition of Joe Holland and the acquiring of A.J. De La Garza from the L.A. Galaxy. Two wonderful pickups here, I think, for the Houston Dynamo. And I think in the case of Holland, he's going to be expected and will get some minutes in year one based on Gold Cups, based on international call-ups. So Dynamo fans, 713-780-3776 is the number Jose, let's get the sound bites from Gianni Infantino, the head of FIFA here, on the expansion of the World Cup to 48 teams. So this has been controversial. There's a lot of comeback on this from fans in varying degrees. Here's a couple of sound bites from Infantino, who is now the head of FIFA and is going to expand the tournament in 2026.
It's time to open to the world a competition like the World Cup, a celebration of football like the World Cup. The competition that makes the world stand still and focus on an event. If we look at how football has developed in the last decades, in the last years as well in particular, we can see that the quality of football has become higher and higher all over the world. Of course, European, South American countries are still the strongest ones, are still those who win the World Cup. But if we look at some of the results in the last World Cups and the competitions, we can see, and the youth competitions as well, we can see that other continents are coming up. And for this reason, we have to be open to an expansion. And for this reason, the expansion has been as well decided. It's about football development. It's about looking forward. And we've been able to come up after discussions, after reflections, and if you don't start these discussions, you never have the feedback, with a format which actually has only positives without negatives, because it involves, it includes 16 more countries.
So there's his thoughts there on the amount of countries involved. Now, they claim with this expanding of the tournament, $800 million more are going to be brought in, and then supposedly reinvested to countries that need it when it comes to the growth of football. Well, we'll see about that. The other quote was, many more countries can now dream. And he did make a political pledge to expand the World Cup when he was running for the job. Is this best for the tournament? Does this hurt the sanctity of the tournament? 713-780-3776. Here's more from Infantino.
It's a football decision. What will happen in 10 years from now in terms of revenues, in terms of costs, we don't know, but the question is, what happens then with that money? And what happens with that money is that that money is going to be reinvested in football development. This is what FIFA stands for now. This is what the new FIFA stands for. And this is how it will be communicated and done as well in practice.
Well, that's more from Infantino. It's a footballing decision, is what he says. Don't forget, he was a part of FIFA when Sepp Blatter was in charge. They've got 9 years to work this out now. Will the money really get to where it should for the development of the sport? Or does it just breed the hand of more so-called football politicians? But there's a lot of things to consider here. You have to have, if you're going to have 48 teams in this, you got to have 48 quality training places and training facilities during the tournament, which means that likely now people are going to look to co-host. Like they're saying 2026, it's going to be the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. I think there's a huge desire to get India and China involved in this and get them to a World Cup. Does this mean teams are going to go into these World Cups fearing and playing not to lose? All these varying groups with three teams is a possibility now, which leads to all kinds of different things that could happen. So, I don't know. 713-780-3776. Do you agree with expanding the World Cup? Won't happen in Russia and Qatar, whatever it's called. Won't happen in those two places. But it will happen in 2026, and that's expected to be, people are already saying it's going to be in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. So there you have that. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. The big Manchester United-Liverpool derby is on Sunday morning. It's a game you're going to catch on NBC. We've talked about the World Cup expanding from 32 to 48 teams ultimately. We've talked about new Dynamo choices here, MLS Super Draft choice, Joe Holland, and then the acquisition of A.J. De La Garza. Love that. De La Garza can play as an outside back, as a center back. I believe he's being brought here to be the right back for the Houston Dynamo. We will hear from Benny Failhaber on the U.S. camp, which so far it's, well, and I mean this in a positive way. It's been very upbeat. It's very vibrant, and it should be, because when a new coach comes in, you know, it's always a bit of freshness to it. People have to reestablish themselves to a new manager. Bruce Arena's brought in a lot of young MLS talent that I don't think right away is going to serve, obviously, in World Cup qualifying. But again, it opens possibility, and those players go back to their clubs with very open minds when it comes to possibility of representing the United States national team and pulling on a U.S. national team jersey. So there's a lot of vibrancy coming from out there. I have never heard Bruce Arena as positive, and I think it's good. It's good to see him positive. You know, he's out at the convention. He's, you know, he's saying all kinds of things that sort of, I think, is empowering. It's, you know, he's talking about the quality of work that coaches all over the country do. He's talking about the quality of the American player. Yeah, it's a bit of a love fest in the beginning. And once you get into those games that are going to matter in March, it's going to change. But it is good to get some healthy, upbeat excitement around things. But the fact is, you better qualify for the World Cup, because if not, it's a missed opportunity with the acceleration of the awareness and movement forward of the sport in this country. These things only come around every 4 years. They're vital to platforming the U.S. and the sport into the consciousness of the U.S. and everybody who's here. So it's important. Sponsorship dollars as well. Huge. Houston Dash have also picked up a couple of players. I'll tell you one. Jane Campbell is a goalkeeper for Stanford, but Nichelle Prince. And I've called some women's college games as well. Michelle Prince is like a power forward from Ohio State. Really strong. Strong, powerful player. 703-780-3776. We're waiting for, we are going to get a call here shortly from Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. They do have a winter sale going on, but more importantly, he just came back from watching Indonesia play Thailand in front of 60,000 people in Thailand. So we're going to get his thoughts on sort of what that experience was like for him. Now, another thing that's really incredible that's going to go on here in Houston, this is going to happen in June. And the Houston Dynamo in June, obviously, are going to be into their MLS season. But I'm going to tell you about a charity event that's going on with the former Manchester United player, Norman Whiteside, who played for Northern Ireland at 17. He's coming to Houston. Big event. There's already been 130, 140 tickets sold. It's going to benefit the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, the 501c charity. So I'm going to give you some information on that tonight. This is being spearheaded by Tom Clare of the Houston Red Army, which is a supporters group. And you know Tom Clare is the noted author. All right, good friend. He's the lead man at Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, supplying the best in contemporary furniture to those throughout Houston. If you want some of the slickest contemporary furniture, and you want that real slick look, he's got quality in his store. If you're a pro athlete, you should be going into that store, quite frankly. So AJ De La Garza and Joe Holland, head over to Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Here's Jan Christensen joining us now. Jan.
Yeah, good evening, Glenn. Good evening, Glenn.
Thanks for coming on the show. Tell us first, before we get into what our, you know, I think it's where in the world is Jan Christensen? But first, tell us about the winter sale going on at Danish Inspirations.
Yeah, our winter sale starts tomorrow. It actually just feels like a summer sale, because last week it should be a winter sale, right? It's crazy in Houston. But anyway, we have a great lineup of modern contemporary furniture, a lot of new stuff that came in, and we need to get rid of some old stuff. And but it's all great stuff, and we have Econis dressers, recliners, and Alp from Italy, bedrooms, and you know, everything that a contemporary mind can desire, man, we have. So come on in tomorrow and Sunday and going on to January 31st, you know, and we'll have the Premier League games on the TV, and we'll have a cup of coffee for you, and just enjoy the beautiful furniture we have, you know, because as you know yourself, there's nothing like an echo and a stressless retirement to watch a soccer game in.
Well, you've observed me watching games from that stressless, and that's where I am when all the big games are on. Danish Inspirations, 2775 Fondren, the number 713-782-4911. But, man, the selection, the size of the store, incredible.
Yeah, and go to danishinspirations.com for more information.
You heard it.
Yeah.
danishinspirations.com. And, Jan, I'm hopefully going to be moving in the next 6 months. So when I do, I'm going to be coming into your store because I'm going to need to furnish this place. So
sounds awesome, man. That sounds awesome. And it was exciting to hear about the Norman Whiteside event, man. I'm definitely going to go to that because that's exciting. And I think there's another great Chelsea player coming in as well, as far as I've heard. You know,
yes,
so it's going to be a great event.
Bobby Tambling, so who's one of the all-time leading scorers at Chelsea. So we got a great event going on. It's going to be downtown in a hotel downtown. We're going to give some more information on that. But before I let you go, I want you to take my listeners into what it's like to watch Thailand and Indonesia play for the Asian Championship.
Yeah, that was it. That was at the Asian Football Association's, they call it the Sukhu Championship, or the Scimitar Gold Cup, I guess. You know, I was lucky enough to watch game two. With the first game in Indonesia was 2-1 Indonesia, and then the second one here in the national stadium outside Bangkok, which I thought it was 65,000. It was only 50,000. I just figured out because that's the maximum capacity. But 50,000 totally sold out, all dressed up in blue, white, and red, the Thailand colors, and a few Indonesians there too. But I mean, it was just, you think that, well, there's no stars. Thailand, Indonesia don't really have any stars. A few of them play in the Arab leagues and stuff like that, but no stars. But I tell you, that's what soccer is about. Intensity. And the audience, the spectators were just so much into it. They were singing and screaming. Every time there was a tackle, a great tackle, or a corner kick for Thailand, everybody just went crazy, you know. And, of course, when they scored and in the end of the first half and beginning of the second half, it was ahead 2-0. It was, and they missed a penalty kick. They could have been up 5-0, I think. But anyway, they won the championship. The whole stadium went berserk, and you know, it was just so wonderful to see that. In you know, you don't think about Thailand as a big soccer country because they've never been to the World Cup. You know, they don't have any stars. But I mean, the passion for soccer as everywhere else I go in the world is just incredible. And of course, they're also big time into the Premier League. But it was just such wonderful to see the nationality of the pride and everything that they finally won their championship, because I think they lost it like 4 or 5 times before the final, and then they finally won it. So that was a big deal. And what I heard, every bar in Thailand was just packed with people screaming and yelling as well, besides the 50,000 in the stadium, you know, so.
Incredible.
Good stuff.
He's Jan Christensen. He's seen games all over the world. He just brought you what it was like to be at Thailand, Indonesia. He's the head man at Danish Inspirations. Everybody knows him because of his commercial where he yells, "What do you yell, Jan?
Goal!"
Get over to Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture this weekend. Catch the Premier League. Get into this store. I'm telling you, it is huge. It has everything you would want. The best in contemporary furniture, bar none. It's danishinspiration.com. Jan, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, as always.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Have a great night. Thanks for a great show, man. Thank you. Good night.
I love hearing the goal call from Jan because it is so it is so Danish. Let's take a break here. Before we do, quick word here for King's Court. Get down to the King's Court in Edo, corner of Walker and Hutchins, right near the Dynamo Stadium. This is the place to be. 24 taps, full bar. Get down there. If you want a real atmosphere for the Manchester United-Liverpool game, get down to the King's Court. They got a rooftop patio, a real soccer pub feel. Say hello to Jay down there. King's Court, 903 Hutchins on the south side of BBVA Compass Stadium. And a big thank you to Bud Light. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters. They support your sport, the global sport. So get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. For the latest in concerts, friends, festivals, happenings in Houston, get over to Facebook and like Bud Light Houston or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show here. As always, we appreciate all the great support of the Daspit Law Firm. Moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878, 713-322-HURT. Now, whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, could be in industrial construction, you work in a plant or a refinery, you might drive an 18-wheeler. If you have an accident, if you have a problem, you call the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. They'll assure you that they're going to treat your case as if it's their own. It's DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work 24/7 nights and weekends for you. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. You might want to put that in your phone because you never know when you need a lawyer. 713-780-3776. We're talking today about the Dynamo and the choices that they have made here. And what I like about this is we have seen the right back position addressed now with A.J. De La Garza, acquired from the L.A. Galaxy. We've seen some depth added to midfield. In Joe Holland out of Hofstra, who was picked number 10 from London, England. So there is a real rhyme and a reason to what's going on here. And I don't think there's any question with the signings that have been made in this offseason compared to last year. They're ones that are going to get people a little bit more excited. I don't think there's any question. And that's no disrespect to anybody. But, you know, you've picked off some talented players in CONCACAF. Albert Ellis, Romel Kyoto, Cabezas, the holding midfielder from Colombia, center back, Adolfo Machado from Panama. You've added some edge. You've added some competitiveness. You've improved your overall team spirit, your overall team speed. You have a team now that has to be looked upon differently here in Major League Soccer. That is a threat behind defenses. And again, it's all on paper. But I think just from the pure quality of player, it has improved for the Houston Dynamo, and it should be something that excites fans. Are you excited? 713-780-3776. And here's the other thing. You wonder what DeMarcus Beasley's thinking now in negotiation, because now he sees a better team. And if you remember, DeMarcus said it was unlikely he's going to be back. Now, these are the things you have to say when you're in a negotiation. I get it. Now there's talk that he could very well come back and would like to come back. But he might want to be coming back because he sees the overall quality of the team improving. Right? When he sees Adolfo Machado signed, when he sees Albert Ellis, when he sees Romel Kyoto signed, and he sees in front of him a team that he said needed improvement on every line, which I don't think there was any question, this might be the impetus for him to come back. Now, he's not going to come back at the same money. I think we all know that. But, I mean, even from my perspective, strictly as a commentator, I'm sitting here and I'm going, wow, this is looking a lot more exciting. We have something to sink our teeth into. And I'm thinking my partner on the TV broadcast, Eddie Robinson's thinking the same thing. So, from that standpoint, it is exciting. Quick word here for the Richmond Arms. Book your party there. RichmondArmsOnline.com. Great place to watch your favorite football club. 5920 Richmond Avenue is where the Richmond Arms is. Their sister pub is the King's Head Pub. Bar Munich. Get down to one of the great soccer watching spots in Houston. Bar Munich. Say hello to Raymond. This is another great place to watch Liverpool and Manchester United right in the heart of Midtown. Bar Munich on Louisiana. It's Bar Munich. .com. Now, if you want atmosphere, you get over to the Gorgeous Gale, a great Irish pub over on Morningside in West University. Now, I don't think there's any question at the Gorgeous Gale you're getting an Irish pub with an Irish feel. 5555 Morningside, the Liverpool supporters group is going to be there. It is going to be packed. It is going to be fun. Say hello to Peter, thegorgeousgale.com, and then the King's Court downtown. Well, if you're a Manchester United fan, that's where you go. Go down there. I got to tell you, those two bars are going to be packed with their supporters groups. And I think if you're looking for atmosphere and fun, it's going to be fun. Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, right by the south side of the stadium. Great British pub food. Phenomenal stuff there as well. Now, I want to remind you to just keep this in mind. In June, there's going to be a sportsman's event with former professionals. Norman Whiteside, who played for Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson, played in the World Cup at 17 for Northern Ireland. Featured speaker. Bobby Tamling, one of the all-time great goal scorers for Chelsea. Featured speaker. People are coming in from all over the country to this event. We're going to get you information. You can go over to Facebook Soccer Matters for information on how to get tickets. But here's the beautiful thing. There is going to be proceeds going to a 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. You know it's something that I'm very dear to my heart. I'm on the board there of the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. But more importantly, this is monies that will be raised for fighting pediatric cancer. So please consider this. Get over to Facebook Soccer Matters. We'll get the information out to you over there where you can buy the tickets. It's being put on by the Red Army Houston, which is headed up by Tom Clare, and the Chelsea Supporters Club in Houston, headed up by Jesus Martinez, called the Bayou City Blues. The man and woman that really are driving this thing is Tom Clare and his wife, Cheryl. They have done these events before, and they are exceptional at putting this all together, and it is not easy. Not easy to do these events, but they know how to do it. It'll be downtown Houston. We do want to kick cancer, don't we? And by the way, a big thanks to the Texas Rush Soccer Club up at Bear Branch this weekend. They are putting on a kick cancer soccer clinic. Proceeds, again, will go to the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. Our thanks to everybody up there. Don Gebel, the head coach or the head man at Texas Rush, and our good friend Jamie up there, who's running the camp this weekend. We thank the Texas Rush for being involved with fighting pediatric cancer. With that said, we'll take a break. It's a 7-Up break. It's a Bud Light break. It is the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Coming up, U.S. soccer midfielder Benny Failhaber.
Hear the 2017 NFL playoffs on ESPN 97.5. Seahawks Falcons 3:30 Saturday and Cowboys Packers 3:30 Sunday. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, a big thank you to Bud Light. Now, Bud Light have been longtime sponsors of soccer here in the Houston community, longtime sponsors of soccer on the radio. So get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of soccer, your game, your sport, the global sport. It's American grown and imported. For the latest concerts, festivals, happenings in Houston, get over to Facebook and like Bud Light or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. And that's the perfect entree to bring on from U.S. national team camp out in California. Midfielder, Sporting Kansas City, U.S. international, Benny Failhaber. Benny, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks, Glenn, for having me, man.
Yeah, it's always great talking to you. And I'm curious to know, just right off the top here, obviously it wasn't working out with Jurgen Klinsmann, the coaching change. You're back in a camp. Did you ever think it was going to happen?
No, I didn't. I thought, with soccer and age is a big factor, and obviously with Jurgen being the coach all the way through 2018, it would have been, I think, virtually impossible for me to get back on the national team. And so I kind of closed that chapter in my career, unfortunately. And I really just focused in on, what I could control and my club team and my club performances and the consistency that I've, tried to get. And so, that chapter was kind of closed for me. It was frustrating at first, but I think I had kind of come to terms with it. And so, it was very exciting and I guess surprising to a certain extent as well that I'm getting the second chance, so to speak, with the national team.
Betty Vailhaber joining us here on ESPN 97.5 from in California and the U.S. national team camp under Bruce Arena. Now, we're hearing all this, you know, it's very glowing, which I guess we would expect, right? Coach back in a place he'd love to be, players coming in with something to prove. Obviously, I would have to think the attitude in this camp is tremendous.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think it's kind of like what you said. It's not only the players that are excited to be here. You can tell that, you know, the coaching staff is excited as well. Bruce was obviously the coach for an 8-year stint. And now he's back, and I think he's, you know, excited about it. You can tell in, the conversations that we have as a team and, when he's out on the training field as well. So it kind of comes through not only the coaching staff, but through the players. So it's a good environment to play in right now.
Interesting for you and through your lens, and I'm wondering, does Bruce seem in any way, shape, or form different to you?
Well, to be honest, I only played under Bruce for two camps in that stint, that earlier stint with him with the national team. So I got to know him just barely, you know, as a national team coach. And he was, from what I remember, he's a similar person now than he was then. I'm sure he's wiser, and he's used his experience as a coach with the national team as well as at the club level to kind of improve things that he does as a coach and, you know, as a person as well. But he's still that, you know, kind of easygoing guy that allows the players to be who they are. And what he wants is for us to be a team, a unit that, you know, is hard to beat and does things together. And I think that'll shine through with him as the coach.
Now, I know it's fresh and it's just started. Has he taken people aside individually at all yet, or is it just sort of kind of getting everybody acclimated so far?
No, I think he has spoken to guys just kind of in passing, whether it be, you know, when we first said hi to him when we first got in a couple nights ago, or whether it be on the training field when he wants to, whether give advice or see how you're doing physically, things like that. But I do know that he is a guy that wants to get together with basically every player and have kind of individual meetings and kind of share, I think, what he sees in each player and what he kind of expects from everybody. And I think he wants to kind of have that ongoing relationship, whether the guys in camp or with their club team. So he's made that, you know, pretty obvious to the players, and I'm sure we'll have some of those conversations in the future.
Very talented sporting Kansas City midfielder joining us, Benny Vailhaber. Betty, these types of camps, and I know you've been through them before, you know, we always hear sometimes the soccer fan kind of, you know, playing these camps down, but these have been incredible camps for people to platform their careers and have extended amount of time in front of a national team staff, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, I think this camp is actually different than most January camps, probably all of the January camps that I've been to, for one big reason, and that's we're really planning and having a goal to get ready for the March qualifiers. Of course, there are steps that we need to take to get there, and the two games that we play in this January camp are a couple of those steps, but the guys that are in this camp, it's not, you know, 20 fresh faces that have never been in camp or, you know, 10 youngsters that did well in MLS, you know, in their first years or two or whatever. It's the core of the A national team. So I think that makes this camp very different than the ones that I've participated in the past. And I think it gives it I think for me, at least, I think it's something that I have a better chance to be successful in. So it's exciting to be in camp with these guys that have been part of the national team for so long now and to, you know, be able to play with them and against them in training and see where you stand and also, you know, try and prove it that you belong with these guys. So I do think it's a little bit different than most camps, but like you said, it's an important camp because of how long it is, because of the gelling that needs to take place amongst players that are going to be part of the team. And I think this is a big start for, you know, the era that Bruce Arena is the coach.
Benny, back to when you get the phone call and you're coming in and you get the contact, you know you're coming in. Does that, because you had pretty much closed the door on probably going back to the national team, does that become a moment that's kind of emotional? Does the heart start beating? Is it, you know, I'm a little bit shocked? What is it?
There's absolutely no doubt that it was emotional in the sense that it was, I mean, it was, I won't say that the actual call was surprising, because once Bruce got the job, there were interviews with him that he mentioned, you know, my name, and as well as some other names that he saw giving opportunities in the future. So I knew that I would potentially have this opportunity. So it wasn't surprising when I actually got the call, but it was definitely emotional, where I was extremely happy and, I don't know if relieved isn't the right word, but it was a similar feeling where I can't believe this. I'm actually, you know, going to get an opportunity to do this again. Something that I've always looked back fondly was my years with the national team under Bob. It's a different style of play. It's, you play against obviously different competition that you're used to in the club level. And it's something that I love to do, with Bob. And I think now, looking back at that and not having been able to do any of that over the last 5 years, I think it's something that I, you know, I really want to grasp with two hands and make the most out of.
You know, whenever I hear your name, one indelible play always comes back to me, and that's that volley you scored against Mexico in the Gold Cup. I believe it was Chicago, right?
That's right.
Is that the play that defines you?
I don't think so. I think it's undeniably one of the greatest highlights of my career. Not only for, you know, the quality of the goal, but most importantly in the final against Mexico, our bitter rival, of the Gold Cup. And so for myself and for our, you know, national team, I think it was a big moment. That win got us to the Confederations Cup, in which we made, you know, an incredible run as well. And so there's no doubt about it that I'm going to remember that moment for the rest of my life. Having said that, I think at that point in my career, I was a player that was very up and down. I had moments of, you know, really good soccer, and then I had moments of not so good soccer. And so, you know, the thing that I'm most satisfied with in terms of how I've developed as a player is I've become much more consistent playing in Sporting Kansas City. I think I've become a much smarter player. I think that, you know, typically happens with experience. And so, you know, I hope that I'm also, you know, I like to remember myself as a guy that has improved in those areas that I wasn't so good at, in terms of consistency and, you know, really bringing it every day and every game. And so, you know, I hope to prove that in this stint with the national team, and I hope to continue that with Sporting Kansas City at the club level. And, you know, we'll see. I think I hope that there's more to come in my career than, you know, that one moment at Gold Cup 2007.
So here's a great segue into something here, because during that time of what you self-admitted was some inconsistency, when you're in that, you know, even though the coaches are saying, you know, Benny, your game has to be more consistent on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, a yearly basis, even though you're hearing that, does it always get through then, or is it just this maturation process? Because, you know, it really seems like your journey just kind of continues to platform here with this choice. So back then, you know, would you walk away going, what do you mean I'm not consistent? Or could you feel that maybe you were inconsistent? Because that was what people would say about you. Incredibly talented guy, but wow, when is he going to become totally consistent?
Right. I think I'm a pretty cerebral guy, I feel like. And so I feel like those kind of things definitely meant something to me, and I could see, you know, where the coaches were coming from. But the one thing that I had a hard time really being able to master was how I could fix it. And so, you know, I would have good games and I'd have good runs, and, you know, I'd think, okay, well, I got to, you know, keep this up or do the things that I'm doing well now. And then inevitably I'd have, you know, a bad game or a bad run of games, and, maybe bad trainings as well, where I wouldn't show as well as I know I can play. And so it's not easy to, at least for a younger guy, and at least for, you know, how my career went, it was, it was one of the harder things to kind of figure out how I could fix that, you know, how I could keep that consistency game in and game out. And so I think that with age, you kind of start realizing more things that work, more things that you can really control. And so I think that's been one of the biggest things with why I've been able to, you know, improve in that kind of department. I don't think it was ever for the reason of me, you know, not believing my coaches or, you know, not wanting to listen because I was, you know, younger and inexperienced.
Was there anything coaches, I mean, did they give you a solution and a path to correcting it? I mean, because, you know, I think it's a common problem with a lot of people. And in your case, you realized that. Did you get any direction as to how you were going to become more consistent?
Yeah, I think, I'm sure. I mean, I got directions, you know, when I was younger. And obviously taking care of my body and, taking care of my body and, you know, taking every training as seriously as, you know, every game. And so things like that were told to me. But I feel like a lot of that stuff is more of a generalization as opposed to, like, something that really works for every individual. And so for me, I think, unfortunately, it didn't come through to me, you know, how to get that stuff consistent game in, game out, and training in, training out. So it was definitely a learning process. And I think with the experience that I've had and the success that I've had over the, you know, last 4 or 5 seasons, it's become more obvious to me the things that I need to do to continue that, you know, consistency.
Well, it's been quite the rise for you. How about a quick word on Sporting Kansas City? Some of these new younger players that are being signed. Latif Blessing is one of them from Ghana. There's a couple of players out there that really seem very interesting here from the outside.
Yeah, I spoke to Peter, and I think it's, you know, we're really looking to find, you know, one or two players that can really make a difference, especially on our wing play. Obviously, we lost Christian Namath at the beginning of last season, and he was fantastic for us in 2015. So we tried to find someone to not necessarily replace him, but somebody that could, you know, be influential in that position for us last year. And it was tough with some injuries and whatnot. I think we weren't able to find that player. So there's definitely a sense of us trying to find a player that can make a difference for us on the wing to open up our game a little bit. And so Latif Blessing is a guy that I think he's 20 years old and coming from Ghana, and he's, you know, got a lot of promise to him. We'll see how he kind of adapts not only to how MLS plays, but just the culture shock potentially of coming from Africa to play in Kansas City, and also and also Gerso Fernandez, who we signed from Belenenses, also an African kid from, I think it's Guinea-Bissau. So he's a guy that obviously we see as more of an immediate player on our team, and hopefully he can have a big a big impact on our team this season. So we'll see what they can do, obviously, in preseason, and we'll take it slow. But we have a lot of riding on it with those guys on our team this season.
Yeah, Fernandez, a international designated player, and also a Blessing in international. Benny, listen, congratulations. Well-deserved getting back into the national team. As always, I thank you very much for the time you give to this radio show. We appreciate it very much.
No problem. I'm glad to be on it.
All right, that's Benny Failhaber doing it out under Bruce Arena. The national team camp taking place. They're going to take on Serbia at the end of the month, and you know, it's, as Benny said, a very critical time here for the United States when it comes to qualifying for the next World Cup. Quick word here for Liberty Kitchen. You know, I'm passionate about great food, and my friends over at the Liberty Kitchen, they know how to serve it up. It's lunch, supper, and brunch. They do it better than most. I think of it as modern American comfort food. Their classics taken up several notches. The best burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. It's all farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claim on, and they own it. Big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen staples, deviled eggs with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo, and of course they got the raw bar with all the oysters on the half shells. chops, steaks, ribs, and fish. That'll round it all out. Whatever you need, it is at Liberty Kitchen. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Stop by the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, and the Treehouse, Memorial City. What a great interview there with Benny Failhaber. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back with more. The best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed, here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.